You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll find out how positive thinking took over American culture.
First, 2015 has been a banner year for science. So every Monday in December, we're looking at the top science stories for the past year, as determined by the editors of Discover Magazine.
Today's destination, space. We'll look at some of the coolest space stories from the last year with Bill Andrews. He's a senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Well, some of the most amazing pictures this year were of Pluto and the New Horizons mission there. Tell us the story of New Horizons and what it found.
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, New Horizons was the probe that we, and by which I mean NASA, sent out into space about 9 years ago in 2006. And after all that time, it took a long time to get there. It finally arrived at Pluto and its moon system this year in July. And it was, as I say, a long-awaited milestone, almost a decade out, traveling all that distance to get there. And it was the first time we'd ever seen any kind of close-up images of Pluto, the one-time planet. So it was a feat of engineering just to get there, and it's been kind of a wonderful moment for science ever since, getting to pore through all the data that is found.
So these pictures that were coming back, these were kind of showstoppers. What did they show?
Well, the first thing they showed that I think surprised almost everybody is that Pluto is not a dull, lifeless little world, which, not to be insulting, but since it's so far away from the sun, that's what a lot of scientists had thought, that it was not much activity was going on, and that it would just be kind of like the moon, but smaller and even less exciting. But it turns out that there's a lot going on this little tiny world, and they're still not really sure why. There's some regions that have a lot of craters, as you'd expect from impacts over the years, but a few plains systems that they're not exactly certain. Is it because new ice has covered up all the old craters? Has some kind of formation, another formation occurred there that they're not certain why? There are a lot of these red regions that have occurred, they think, because of interactions between organic materials and that have gone on in this completely different, harsh, cold climate of Pluto's. So it's just been one surprise after another, and it's a lucky thing for the public that it's kind of a beautiful, beautiful process to see unfold as well.
It seems like I kept seeing stories that started scientists surprised by blank. New Horizons kept finding new and interesting stuff. And it wasn't just on the dwarf planet Pluto itself, but this is a whole region of our solar system we didn't know much about. I've heard it called the third zone. What is this area, and what are we learning about it?
Well, right. That's the almost hidden significance of this mission, is that it's the first one to get us out into that third zone. So the first one is just the rocky planets of the inner solar system, of which Earth is a part, but also Mars and Mercury and Venus. And then beyond that, you have these great big giant gas planets of Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune. And then, for a long time, there was this outlier of a ninth planet that didn't really fit with any of the others, that was this Pluto that had this weird lopsided orbit, and it was super far away, and it was really tiny, rocky after all these gas giants. And what the scientists began to realize after a while is that maybe it isn't the ninth planet, but it's actually the first of a new kind of object in the solar system. It's part of what they now call the Kuiper Belt, which has a lot of other objects like Pluto. The ones they used to think were tiny, small, you know, devoid of activity. But now that we've seen Pluto's example, all these other icy, rocky worlds out there might have this same kind of unusual activity and, you know, their own surprises and mysteries all going on out there.
So, Bill, before we move on to the next story, what are the big lingering questions out here about this Pluto mission?
There's still a lot of questions about what exactly is causing some of these formations on Pluto, and why its moon, Charon, although there's some debate on how to pronounce it, why it doesn't look like it's a mini Pluto. It has very different set of features and systems than Pluto as well. So it's a fairly big moon. In fact, the moon doesn't orbit around Pluto. The two co-orbit around a central point. And that's how big this moon is. And so they expected it to be a lot like Pluto, but it isn't. And then beyond that, the New Horizons probe, which has already sped long past Pluto by now, is actually on its way toward another Kuiper Belt object that it will be reaching in another few years. So the big question will be, once it gets there in 2019, they're thinking, what will it find? Will it be the same kind of amazing activity, or will that be more of a lifeless, by which I just mean not much activity kind of a world?
We're talking about the biggest stories from space throughout this year. We've got Bill Andrews with us from Discover Magazine. Let's get a little closer to home, Bill, and a Ceres, I believe, in the asteroid belt, right?
That's right. It's actually another dwarf planet. So Pluto isn't the only dwarf planet we got to see up close this year. Ceres beat it out by a few months when the Dawn mission entered orbit there in earlier in the year. And That is not just one of the asteroids in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, but it's actually the biggest one. In fact, they thought it was a planet when they first discovered Ceres in 1801. For decades, they thought it was another planet. So we'd actually never gotten a really good look at this world either. And when Dawn made it earlier this year, it finally saw that this is another vibrant world that they weren't expecting quite as much activity. And the biggest mystery on this one is this really bright white dot, or actually series of spots in its biggest crater. And they weren't sure for a long time exactly what these white, almost, you know, luminous looking spots could be. They think now it might be deposits of salt that are a result of some kind of activity, of geologic activity, but they're still not really sure. So the Dawn mission will keep will stay in orbit there for another while, and hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about these white spots and the rest of the world too.
And we're going to go now to another huge story from this year, that the Rosetta mission. What happened there? That was big news.
Right. And this one is almost a sequel to some of last year's big stories, because last year's, when the Rosetta mission first made it to and orbited and even sent a lander to a comet, the first time in our history that's ever happened. So we got to see up close a comet for the first time last year and sent, as it turned out, ill-fated lander to the surface that was supposed to attach to the ground but kind of bounced around instead. And this year it's still a big story because they've been able to get all that data and process it, as well as all those great pictures that they were getting. So they're able to learn much more about what makes this comet tick, and in so doing, what makes a lot of the solar system tick, because comets have this property where they've been out in deep freeze all this time. So if you can figure out what makes up a comet, you can figure out what made up the original solar system billions of years ago. On Earth, and a lot of the planets, wind and water and erosion and all kinds of stuff has affected these materials. But out in the comets, a lot of this stuff is still pristine, and that's why they want to try and figure out exactly what it's made up of and what kind of properties it might tell us about the solar system.
And, Bill, as I understand the universe, it's really big. But what's amazing to me about these and other stories this year is how little we know, how many questions are still open about our own little neighborhood in the solar system.
That's right. This year in particular has had a ton of stories about the solar system, the ones we've been seeing, but also stuff about the sun and the moon and other moons of the gas giants, and just a huge year for planetary science in the solar system. Goes to show that it isn't all exoplanets and dark matter and galaxies, but there's a lot of mysteries we can still solve right here close to home.
And the final story in Discover's Top 100 is that the universe is dying. Mm. Thank God it's very, 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 very slowly, but it is dying. What do we know about that?
Right. Well, unfortunately, it will come to us all, and apparently the universe itself is no exception. And this is just the result of a study that astronomers have done chronicling the energy output of a number of galaxies, over 200,000, just to be able to compare some of the behavior of galaxies in the past to how they're acting in the present. And it turns out that they were much more productive in the past, even in just 2 billion years difference, which sounds like a lot, but it isn't that much in the universe's scheme. But even just 2 billion years ago, the galaxies were producing twice as much energy. So if this trend continues, which it looks like it should, we have no reason to suspect otherwise, eventually the energy output of everything, galaxies and stars, and if mankind should be around, maybe us too, it's just going to keep dwindling and, you know, falling apart, and eventually all that's left is just going to be nothing. Nothing new. All the stuff that in the universe without any energy to keep it moving or get any new stuff happening. So a bit of a bleak reminder of, you know, the fate of so many of us. But as we say in our story, too, if you're worried about this, it really isn't something that should occupy your mind. The sun will have gone out and Earth died way before the universe's time is up.
And so, on that cheery note, mm-hmm. It's good. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for catching us up on the latest this year in science.
Thank you.
That's Bill Andrews, Senior Associate Editor at Discover Magazine. He joined us to talk about the top space news from 2015.
As we ponder the heat death of the universe, good time to look at the rise of positive thinking in American culture. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.